Beneath the layers of pigment was an integrated assembly of geometric measurement. 8 major lines of orientation determined the central vertical axis that anchored the rest of the composition. Then the artist would start his sketch. He drew 2 diagonal lines, each stretching from one corner of the canvas to the other. These lines established the vertical and horizontal axis. Their intersection marked the center of the image. Around this center, 4 borders would eventually frame the final figure. These major lines oriented more lines, specifically 9 vertical and 14 horizontal lines, that produced 12 units known as sor or sormo. These gave rise to the main subject, the Buddha to be surrounded by strange hues of green and blue. He sat on the cushion of lotus flowers, with eyes focused, legs folded, draped in dark maroon robes. This technique of Thanga, known as iconometry or iconography, measured fixed proportions. The lines underneath made a kind of infrastructure, a kind of mathematical and technological assembly. Sor is a measurement of 12 units. For example, the measurement of a figure's face is 12 sor. It is divided into 4 sor from the crest wall to forehead, 2 sor for the forehead, 2 sor for eyes, 4 sor from nose to chin. Likewise, the whole body is divided into units of 12 sor, explained Sunam Wangtak, a Queensbury Thangar expert in New York. He was adamant that the technique of iconometry is an invention of Tibetan Thanga masters. Mastering iconography, drawing this infrastructure of lines, requires rigorous training for at least 3 years, all to be buried under the thick layers of pigments. Over time and across borders, the practice of Thanga painting changed. In 7th century, between Tang Dynasty and Magadha Kingdom, the Tibetan Empire struggled to innovate Thangas that spoke to their people and also exhibit a separate identity from its neighboring countries. Surviving modifications through successive empires, temporal and spiritual leaders of pre-colonized Tibet classified Thangas into different schools of teachings which adhered to particular founders' preferences. Thangas banned and remodeled in colonized Tibet post-1959 depicts exoticized wild Tibetan plains favored by Han Chinese artists, while Thangas produced in diaspora by the exiled Tibetan refugees in India or Nepal, in America or other European countries are considered a link to the past, a representation of Tibet of their memories, and custodians of Tibetan traditionalism. Adapting native physical features, smaller eyes, flatter nose, shorter neck, rounder face, typical bodily representations imbibe distinct identity creation. Thangas today still bear influences of Chinese silk patterns, brocade on the robes of deities, marking perverse nationalism. The theory of iconometry traversed borders and various artistry professions. From Thanga to mural paintings, sand, gold or bronze statues, to carpentry and tailoring, everything has a measurement and they were all practiced in daily lives, explained Mr. Wangtak. In the 7th century, during the reign of Tibet's 33rd king Songtsen Gampo, Buddhist missionaries and merchants from India helped transmit Buddhism to Tibet. Thanga prevailed as a religious symbol, token of exchange between elites, high lamas, and from kingdom to kingdom. Today, almost every Tibetan household, monasteries and temples have thangas hanging on their walls in brocade frameworks. Thanga is an object of prayer, is an object of wonder for its aesthetic beauty, but it's also an object of exchange, an object of monetary, social and political value. Thanga maps expanded networks of exchange, yet these networks were exclusively male. Women were rarely included in Thanga production. Sacredness and its monetary value renders Thanga painting a profession for the few, male. Skills passed down from masters to disciples, fathers to sons, as women and girls were considered not only impure but also incompetent in comprehending theories of measurement. Through printing machines, dozens of Thangas could be produced in a short period of time. Dwindling physical labor further obscures the technique of producing thanga and the ways in which many artists were trained. For them, iconometry remains a memory. For buyers, dealers, observers, aesthetic value is fixed on the superficial appeal of the art. The tensions between surface value that obscures the labor of the unknown artist conveys the history of thanga painting as a contemporary production, irrelevant to the many lines beneath the surface. Sore remains a distant theory, an idea, and a concept that is on the verge of fading from the memories of the few trained minds.